Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story.
What that area and maybe Raleigh in general is kind of missing is, if not one or two of, is like just this really like come as you are neighborhood bar that isn't about food.
No.
You know, it's a bar and it's like, I don't feel like hanging out in my living room, so I feel like I can go here.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. Perception is not reality is the best way to say it. The announcement that New Anthem was closing at Smoky Hollow, combined with rumors swirling about Crunkleton not opening, the gossip mill was working double time about the district-wide development. With me today to talk about the current reality for Smoky Hollow is Editor-in-Chief Melissa Housem.
Yeah, this is one we've had our eye on for a while. I kind of said the line in the story, like maybe people thought it was, you know, more fizzle, less sizzle. But I think, you know, extending that metaphor or pun, if you will, is like it's just been a bit of a slow burn. I don't think that there's a real reality to that. I don't think it's fizzled at all. And that's what we were able to kind of dig into, you know, launching off of an announcement of New Anthem closing and people starting to ask all these questions.
Yeah, I mean, this story, I mean, I guess this is off subject a little bit. This story is a great example of why I like what I do, what we do, mm-hmm. and my job is that we get tipped off. It doesn't matter if somebody on our staff is having dinner somewhere, sitting at the bar somewhere, or shopping in a store. People will go, well, did you know? Have you heard? Or they'll text us the craziest stuff and say, did you know this? And we very rarely, we've learned, we very rarely take it at face. We never take it at face value without confirming it. But we rarely believe it anymore. I mean,
except, well, and to your point, this one was about the relationships. The springboard for this one with New Anthem closing, we actually knew before it was announced right. that it was closing.
We knew.
And I can say, because this is coming in our current issue and everything, you know, we both have, or in our team, has great relationships with the team at Madre.
Right.
And so we knew that they were opening, we had just learned that they were opening a bar in the New Anthem space, which obviously meant New Anthem was closing.
Right.
And it turned out there was a whole Reddit on it, you know, so.
But I think what's fun and interesting to me is that when you really, you know, there's this community perception on a lot of topics and almost any topic, the gossip mill, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when you start digging, and so.
You're talking about the Crunkleton, right?
I'm talking about all of it.
Okay.
You know, thinking, people starting to say, what's wrong with Smoky Hollow? Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong with Smoky Hollow. New Anthem had financial issues and they're closing their entire operation. So that has no bearing, and it's not, they're closing their Wilmington location. It has nothing to do with Smoky Hollow. It has to do with them. What we found out in the meantime was every spot out there is taken except one.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting.
It also, like, it is interesting hearing the public, you know, chatter, for lack of a better word, that I almost was like, oh, what is going on with Smoky Hollow? And then when, you know, we got the news about Madre, then we, you know, we announced New Anthem's closing and Madre's opening the bar on Instagram. We had that story working. You talked to Stacy at Kane, and I start digging into the writing part of it. You know, we're kind of working together, and it's like, wait a minute. I said to you and Lauren, I was like, wait, only two places have closed there? And you think if you just heard the talk that it was like, nothing could survive at Smoky Hollow. Like, just two have closed. And that's with the announcement of New Anthem, the other being J Lights, which closed a while ago.
Well, and I think what is really hard to remember, I found myself in your office today saying, now, when did we tell this story and how many years ago was it?
Yeah.
Because people feel like Smoky Hollow has been here for a long time. It opened in 21, in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
A district-wide development.
Yeah.
And when you think about how large the project is, Stacy shared with us, they signed leases with some businesses. Business wasn't business as usual back then.
Right.
And so they signed some leases, took some chances on businesses that they probably still would take the chance on.
Right.
Otherwise, but they didn't know. And Crunkleton's a great example. I think that's the one that's almost stirred as much conversation, because Crunkleton's name has been on that space for so long. And
people were suspicious that it was like not really coming.
Right.
Like, why won't they take the name down?
Well, and I think there's a lot of respect for Crunkleton.
Right.
That bar has a lot of respect, located in, the flagship is in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. They've opened one in Charlotte. Well, when Stacy and I started talking, she said, we didn't know this then, but we figured it out quickly. They opened their Charlotte one by doing, fundraising, crowdfunding, if you will. And so that has started, that's what they had been doing. They had another crowd fundraising event in January, and they have another one scheduled shortly. But they have a general contractor, they have equipment ordered and in place, and they have permits to start. It was a financial move, and it was part of their plan. Certainly, the original drawing and design, when they got the cost back, costs for everything have gone up, and it was 20% higher.
Yeah, it all goes back to the pandemic for them and for Smoky Hollow at large. Like, look, none of these people are any less immune to the pandemic woes than everybody else, right? And so when you're saying that, going back to Smoky Hollow opening in 2021, that's opening. So, the world shut down in March 2020. You don't build a development a day, right? But you certainly spend a lot of your time and money on that development and filling those leases in those last 6, 9, 12, certainly 18 months, right? Mm-hmm. That's COVID. That's what they were dealing with. So that's the Smoky Hollow side of it. And then you also have, which you just kind of alluded to, Kane's super committed, especially with Smoky Hollow, to local and regional concepts, right? And so they're, like you just said, they're kind of like, taking chances on people and seeing what will work and like working with people to get in there. That's probably a little bit what happened with J Lights. As far as Crunkleton, you just said it. Like, I don't think crowdfunding was always the plan, but they were really struck by the exorbitant rises in construction costs.
Right.
And so, no, there wasn't some ruse that like, okay, look, the Crunkleton is famous. It's been in the New York Times. It's been in the Bitter Southerner. No, there wasn't some elaborate plan to keep the Crunkleton sign on there just so people would think some cool thing was coming. It is coming. And Kane's not in the business of like bait and switch.
No.
And so, and also like, I think we'd be remiss not to say like, everybody's so focused on the empty spaces and what's coming there. They started to play the slow game.
Right.
Which is why I called it a slow burn. I think they decided, okay, we need to slow down and be patient with these remaining spots, right? Now, the ones they have, why nobody's talking about Dose? Why is nobody talking about Madre? You can't, Madre is always packed.
Right.
And Dose, they just
doubled
down.
Dose just signed us a second lease.
Yeah, and they've already expanded North Hills, and that is, yoga's popular, but Dose is really tapped into something in the community that you just can't quite put your finger on.
Well, and Midwood. Smokehouse has done mm-hmm. really well. And I have so many people who've said to me how much they like the spot because it's so many places open and it's a bar-driven concept, not a food-driven concept. And people were excited when it opened before Madre because they wanted, there wasn't Madre. So they mm-hmm. were excited that there was a restaurant. Yes, the bar has a patio. Yes, it's nice. But it was really about the food. And so that's pretty exciting. But we did. They gave us an updated map and shared with us, there's several things that are opening this month, mm-hmm. including Noor, which is a nail bar. But they have, I don't know if it's a liquor license or they have the license to sell beer and wine. I don't know which one they've gone
with. Yeah, but I think she said that they were, they're definitely going to be able to sell alcohol. So right. we just didn't specify any liquor or not. I know they've got another, speaking of regional local concepts, they've got another concept locally that has like margarita days or something. So there may be liquor there, but there will be some kind of bar for sure. And then the other one that's supposed to open this month is Marea, which is sort of like a, I believe that's how you say it, like an artisanal ice cream experience. Mm-hmm. So that one is, we try to frame this because even with us having a map, it's like, okay, where's all
where
this going?
Located?
We're talking about somewhere between 6 and 8 spots here that we've announced in the issue. So definitely grab it. There's a map in there.
Right.
But if you are familiar with Smoky Hollow, if you know where Dose is, there's a row sort of like from Dose all the way over to West Street. And that's where there's a lot of spaces that are filled now that are coming.
Right. And the one that's closest to West Street, which we know is a local fitness concept, mm-hmm. an additional fitness concept. But all the others, the only spot that is currently, there's not an LOI or letter of intent or lease or anything else, is the space next door to Madre. That's
right.
If you're facing Madre, it's to the right of it. That's the only space that right now is available for lease.
Yeah.
And they're clear. They really want an Asian concept or they want pizza in there.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you know somebody who knows somebody, this is a great spot. I think there's some frustration. Certainly when we were talking to Stacy, she's like, there's so much in the works, but people get impatient. Mm-hmm. And they were very careful. If you listened to the podcast last week, that Kane could have put anyone on the rooftop of the Dillon. Mm-hmm. But they let it sit for several years empty because they wanted a specific concept. That patience is something they have really exhibited in all their projects downtown.
I think, people think that everything Kane touches turns to gold. And I think maybe it does, ultimately. But, we've said in the issue, there's this sort of illusion of this field of dreams. Like, if he builds it, they will come. And I think that is true. I think, and not just him. There are other developers that have a similar, like, Midas touch. But in this case, we are talking about Kane. And so I think that I almost appreciate seeing this play out because it shows how careful they're being as opposed to just like,
oh, they just do it and it's successful immediately.
Yep.
It shows that there's so much forethought. A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at Shop Village District, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots. With signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles, the mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's. So that's bottlemix.com.
And that they're human.
Well, and planning, you know? And right. And I, again, it's interesting. Originally, they had not really planned to activate. If you've spent time at North Hills, you know there's concert series, there's beach mm-hmm. music, there's farmer's market. They really had not planned to activate the space in the Hollow. They were going to let it be sort of organic and natural, let the city use it if they wanted to have concerts or DRA. Right. But in an attempt to go ahead and activate the space some this summer, they're going to have live local music on Thursday night starting in April. Mm-hmm. So that will be kind of a fun draw.
And there have been a couple events there, and all of them are coming back. So yes. Bubbles and Brisket, the Fashion Fest, is that the name of it?
Yes, I think that.
There's three or four events.
Now Serving, which is the charity dinner, is coming back. And then Oak City Marathon finishes there.
That's what it was.
And they have the celebration in the space.
And you've been to Bubbles and Brisket since its inception. I've been to all but the first, which was not at Smoky Hollow. Right. But the last one, we were all there last year. Got to see that use of the Hollow. I thought it was really cool. Now, I can't speak to how different it was from the first one. But
it was very different. It was in Cary. I mean,
it was intense.
Right? You know, it was really different. It'll be even more interesting to see. Madre wasn't open last year.
That's right.
And so it'll be interesting to see how their patio.
Snuck in there.
I know. We were sneaking and sitting on their patio. It'll be interesting to see how, with more open, mm-hmm. how that'll all play together. And I feel like it'll bring a lot more business to Smoky Hollow and more people who maybe haven't ventured down there. If they weren't going to Madre or they weren't going to Dose or Midwood, I think it'll get some more attention.
And I do want to talk a little bit about the Madre Bar, but before we do that, you know, we have to remember that Smoky Hollow is also, it's mixed use, it's also offices. Mm-hmm. And so while we didn't focus on that too much in the actual issue, you know, we've been talking for a while, and we knew for a while that LS3P was moving its, it's a, you know, a local architectural firm, moving its offices from Fayetteville Street to Smoky Hollow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was some local press on that saying that they were, quote unquote, leaving downtown. And we're friends with that team, you know, we know mm-hmm. them well. And so the amount of intention that went into them looking for a space and the fact that they chose Smoky Hollow is something to be celebrated. And their reason for leaving Fayetteville Street quite literally was just about the function of the space that they're in, with low ceilings, two floors, things like that.
What I love about that is they did what so many people want their companies to do. They polled their employees and said, what do you want in an mm-hmm. office space? We want you to come in. We want you to be here. What would make this, you know, more interesting to you? And they wanted walkability. They wanted green space and outdoor space. They wanted, and mm-hmm. so many of the things they were looking for, Charter Square didn't offer and couldn't. It's just the building was built years before. Yeah. So they are moving to Smoky Hollow. But I thought what Stacy said about occupancy with Smoky Hollow was interesting, because you hear all kinds of numbers. They were very clear with us. They are 53% occupied in their office space. But the way she said it, I thought was really interesting. She said it's 53% extremely occupied. And what she meant by that was that those offices are full of people. That it's not just somebody rented the office space and they're in some days and not, that those companies are there, those businesses. And so they're active in the Hollow.
Yeah. And she said it's the most occupied building in the portfolio as it's related to those that have been signed. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, the amenities that they have there. Again, you know, this is opening at a time that people were leaving offices behind. And so now to see people coming back to offices and, you know, this is not a Smoky Hollow problem. This is a United States urban problem. And they're doing well considering.
Well, and a reminder for people, I mean, Smoky Hollow was in the midst of, I mean, they were already building and they put a halt a little bit and revised their mm-hmm. office plan for the design based on what happened with the pandemic and sort of more open space.
Yeah. I really I don't know what it is about Smoky Hollow, but I think it's a little bit
Madre.
It's
about Madre.
It is now, but it wasn't open at first.
I know.
A little bit about location, a little bit about the history of it, knowing that, you know, doing that story. We have a previous episode on that that's mm-hmm. worth a listen. How dedicated they were to that. It's just cool though. Like architecturally, mm-hmm. you know, the hollow is real. Like there's a hollow in the middle of it that you can like hang out in. Now jumping to Madre is maybe my favorite restaurant. Definitely top three in Raleigh. It's so good. It's unique. And they've had a patio, right. but they're sort of like realizing that patio right. more for this season. And that's, I love a patio. You know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's like downtown, but not downtown proper. And
it has its own identity. Yeah. And it's what I said for a long time about what I love so much about Atlanta. And don't at me, as Melissa would say, I liked Atlanta and I still do. I like that there were pockets that if you liked this kind of living, if you were creative or you liked being outdoor, you know, whatever your interest level was at the time, you could find somewhere to live that you fit. And I think Raleigh's starting to do that,
yeah.
whether it's Five Points, whether it's the Warehouse District and the Dillon, or whether it's Smoky Hollow, or whether it's, you know, there's just so many areas. Mm-hmm.
This is a good segue, too, because I think you just made me realize why I like Smoky Hollow so much. I used to love Glenwood South. I don't feel like I belong there anymore. And there are places I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable at Dram. I feel comfortable at Vidrio, obviously, even the Avenue. But, you know, there are other places, you know, I've been down there with y'all, or I've been down, yeah. you know, and I've been down there with Lauren, and it's like, okay, I feel like I stand out. I got to go. And so I think Smoky Hollow and the people in there and Tyler and his team have been especially committed to wanting it to feel like a place that all ages are welcome. And to that point, whether you're 65 or 21, absolutely, but also maybe leaning into the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know, giving a place for people to go. And, you know, and above and that below too, but like not the party scene that Glenwood South right. might be associated with is my point.
Right.
Like,
it's just a little more elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that he described the bar. I wish he'd go ahead and name that thing and put a
right.
name on it.
So now the bar, I don't think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like when we get that first look, but I'm not picturing elevated. He and I talked a lot about, which I couldn't wait to talk to you about on the podcast, and I saved this for you. He asked me, like, what do you think that these bars, you know, we talk about Pink Boot closing. And now I wish you could see Gina's face. We do have video. She's very sad. Our whole team is sad. And it's not because we do love Jason Howard. We do love
Pink
Boot.
It's not about Jason.
But it wasn't about that. It was about Pink Boot tapped into something that was missing in Raleigh. And that is what Tyler told me he wants their team wants this bar to be. They feel like what that area and maybe Raleigh in general is kind of missing is, if not one or two of, is like just this really like come as you are neighborhood bar that isn't about food.
No.
You know, it's a bar. And it's like, to me, and we haven't said this yet, like if, I don't feel like hanging out in my living room, so I feel like I can go here. Just chill,
and,
you know?
And I'll tell you, the closest thing I have right now to that is Gussie's.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I said that. I think there's a couple.
And there's something about Gussie's. It's different from Pink Boot, and I know exactly what I miss about Pink Boot, but Gussie's to me feels like it's a new bar. It's barely 90 days old, maybe, but it doesn't feel like a new bar.
Right.
It has that feeling when you walk in and sort of the hospitality and the atmosphere and the lighting, so much
intention.
Little bit, and so much intentionality in the design and the concept, I think.
Pink Boot never felt new either, actually.
Never.
And the other one that I talked to, when he asked me, and then I want to know what you said. It was a hard question. I'd already written the story, which is in this issue. You guys should grab it and learn all about the bar, and we'll update you. But I was really interested in that, like, this is what we're missing, and how do I tap into that? And so after I wrote the story, he was like, so what do you think it is? What's the it? You know, and I'm he's asking, I'm sure, a lot of people. But, and I was like, oh, wow. And he was like, I'm sure for you, you know, or I know for you, your go-tos are like Wilco, would have been Pink Boot. And I was like, now those are two very different bars, but they represented that it. What mm-hmm. is the it, right? And I thought about it all day, and I texted him back, and I was like, I think it's just that, like, my 60-plus-year-old aunt just went to Wilco for her birthday, and she absolutely felt welcome there.
Yeah.
They sent me a picture at the Marg, you know, and, like, all of us felt welcome at Pink Boot, whether you're talking about our 21-year-old intern or, like, everybody on our team. There's no age, which I think is what Tyler's trying to tap into, and there was no certain type. Like, it's not a sports bar. It's not a—
I think that's the thing. I think that you said it right, and it's so cliche to say it's the Cheers feeling,
yeah.
but you can walk in and the whole room doesn't turn around and stare at you. It's just like you feel at ease there. And what I also mm-hmm. like, and I do credit Jason Howard with this, because I loved Atlantic Lounge and I'm a little heartbroken over that. And Pink Boot, which I think there might be a Pink Boot in our future. Fingers crossed.
What?
Do tell. but I think that he took spaces that no one else wanted to touch. Pink Boot is, if you think about it, is the shape of a pie, slice of pie.
Yeah.
It's very narrow at the back. It has next to no storage, and no one wanted it. When he was working on Rainbow Luncheonette, he kept watching. No one wanted that space, and he had a vision for it. It's sort of what I said to Lauren about Birdies, but in a different way. It fits where you are. So I could go there in the afternoon with a client, a certain kind of client who would be totally lean into it and feel like I had taken them somewhere they had never been. Parking's easy. It's just you walk in and you can have a domestic beer or you can have a cocktail. You know, it's really a little bit of everything. It fits. It's a good fit for everyone.
I think that the two things, and maybe Lily too, you know, Wilco owner, but I think the thing that Jason and Tyler have in common, and they're people that they work alongside, is deep understanding of Raleigh. You know, Tyler and his team, some of them went to NC State and have been here for a long time, if not before. But I mean, that's what he says. Like, I want to build a bar for people our age and like older and younger too, but like a place for us to go. But they're committed to Raleigh. They understand Raleigh. When Jason did Pink Boot and all the relics that were in there, it was just so cool. Like every time I went in there, I wanted to Instagram it, even though I'd already done it. Like, have y'all seen this?
Yeah. Well, and I have to say another secret about us. We are moving. And if you've been in Atlantic Lounge, there was a great photo of Mr. Rogers. He's not technically shooting a double bird, but that was not. But that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's, if you know the story behind that, he's talking about and counting with his fingers, but that's what happens.
Right.
And so it's 3 feet by 3 feet on canvas. It's going in the Raleigh Magazine Lounge.
I'm so excited.
I told him, I said, when you reopen, if you want it back, it's yours. But he was like, I'd love to have it in there. I feel like it's, Lauren and I are still in mourning. I wear black every day, so that's easy. I'm still in mourning over Pink Boot. But
same.
But I feel this, what you're saying about Tyler and about knowing Raleigh, I think even though the team behind Gussie's, they went to state.
Mm-hmm.
They know the area. They've been gone for a while, but came back here to open this bar.
There's a team. The team thing is very important too, because Tyler owns Madre with his best friend Brad. They grew up together, been friends for like 30 years. Selena, who was at Barcelona Wine Bar in Raleigh before this, and it was designed by Brian Costello, whose hands are he's basically like mastering Raleigh, you know, artfully. And Brian is going to be the lead designer on the new bar, and it's the same team. And so you're not just talking, it's not, you know, Tyler's certainly not a one-man show. In fact, I don't even think, I did quote him in the story, but otherwise I didn't really name him. You know, this is very much a team thing, just like Gussie's.
Right.
They talked a lot about that when we covered them. And it's a lot of people's visions and heart and love for Raleigh coming into a place. And I do think, I'm excited because nothing against New Anthem, you know, that was a great spot for them. But there's a different vibe at like a brewery than what you're going to get with a local neighborhood bar.
Right.
And I am so excited to see this take shape and can't wait to go to the bar and check it out.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, Dish on This, where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.